John Von Riott and beginning to visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. John Von Riott and beginning to visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. John Von Riott and beginning to visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75.
Gosh, I
put you some coffee on. Zora did me this morning. I mean, Zora not all with us this morning myself. For some reason, this weather is hard for me to breathe.
This weather is good. It's killing me.
Well, I wish you'd go ahead and decide what it's going to do.
Going to Jacksonville yesterday morning.
And you didn't get there?
Oh, you did?
I almost got there. Me and my buddy, he come back and got my horses. Took them on in.
Where'd this rig come from? I see.
That's a barge rig. Rented rig.
Got this thing off. I'm about to burn up.
I should burn it. I am too. Ooh, sure don't need that. Is that yours?
That's radio.
Look at his cigars.
I ain't got no money.
You put the coffee in the fridge?
I lost my shirt yesterday.
Lost another shirt?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I lost that thing yesterday.
Yesterday was the sale in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir.
That's the one you said you were going to.
I went too. Been better off if I stayed home.
Yeah, but you wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
Well, how would you lose your shirt at a sale? You don't have to buy if you don't want to.
Well, when you're selling and got to sell.
Well, you were selling.
Yeah.
I thought maybe.
That's old 980.
Those fine horses from Blacker?
Yeah. I sold them. No one sells them more.
Including the big
walking horse? Yes, sir. I sold him. I lost $35 on him, but I sold him.
Well,
prices are not back up then too much.
13 cents in New Holland.
13 cents
a pound, that's right.
Back down.
Well, you came out on some of them.
One. One that I bought Friday night. Big walking horse. Big room, flashy son of a gun. He's a good horse. Bought him Friday night, $200, and sold him for $242.50.
That wouldn't make up for the other.
That wouldn't make up for the rest of them.
And they were all good horses.
Yes, sir. I had 9 head, and they're good horses.
Are those you brought around here were good looking?
Well, they were good horses. I lost my shirt.
Well, you didn't have too much. You hadn't paid too much for them. They just down.
That's right. I didn't pay too much for them. They just wasn't bringing nothing.
But the man that sold them, you did better than you did.
Yeah. I traded one for a mowing machine the other day. Big order of mower.
Big one? 7 foot?
7 foot job, yes sir. I could use around on the state road.
All those things?
Yes sir.
Oh, they're tough.
Well, I got one.
Well, it'd take a pretty good machine to pull it, wouldn't it?
Well, they pull them with a Jeep.
Not so hard to pull them?
No, they pull them with a Jeep.
Yeah, you see them every now and then.
Yeah.
Of course, Jeep got better gears than my old Alice Chalmers has got. That is, some of the Jeeps I have seen in my time have got better gears.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever tried to push a Jeep, Cookie. All them gears in there, she wouldn't push, see? You just think that little bitty old four-wheel thing on the road, you could just lean against it.
Boy, your fortunes really go up and down, don't they, Cookie?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everything goes up and down just like the stock market.
Cattle.
With the stock market.
Yeah.
Cattle don't go up and down, they just stay down. As far as I heard, well, they had any up to the cattle.
But you still figure you're gonna sell some more. You're not gonna get out. of the business?
Oh, I don't know.
Can't get out when you're losing money, but you gotta get the money back.
I got two at home that I'm gonna sell.
Yeah, we
didn't come by
that 118.
Now, the private market won't absorb them.
Mm-mm. I got a hot prospect on a big old gentle horse, if I can find it.
If you can find the horse.
Well. Yeah. Big horse.
General. That is about 20 years old?
Yeah. One is too old to hurt anybody.
I think Barbara likes this 3-year-old. I keep running him down and
she should.
She takes up for him.
She should.
I say, I don't want any horse around that don't know as much as I do. That's a safe statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
She says she'd rather have him where she could start him.
Well, that wasn't sport.
And yep. Nobody had heard it.
No.
And been scared.
That's right.
That's scared business. That's the worst part, ain't it?
She got in. She got in on the ground floor there.
Mm-hmm.
To start with. It's going to cost a little bit of money to work him out, but he's going to be worth something when he gets done.
She's got all the equipment, you know, to work him on the lunge. She's got that lunge thing and everything. She had him out there working.
I thought about it. I can get out and get some feed down here yesterday morning, and I forgot it until I was getting ready to go to Jacksonville. And done sent the pickup off. I gotta get back up to the house, gotta take this man's truck to him.
That's the one you used yesterday?
Yeah.
It looks like it's in good shape.
It's a good truck. Gotta go get mine. Shoot.
Gotta go get yours.
Yeah.
You do
just
swap.
Yeah, that's setting up in Jacksonville.
How you gonna bring it back?
Tow it. I'll take my pickup and tow it back.
Well, that's a heck of a thing to have to go all the way back to Jacksonville.
Yeah, when you bring that dry shaft into, there ain't no fixing it, only with a new one.
Oh, I see.
And you're talking about $200 there.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing it's just Jacksonville, ain't it?
You better believe it's a good thing it's just Jacksonville. 65 miles.
Could be New Holland.
Yeah. Fort Worth, El Paso. Mason City, Iowa.
They do pretty well hold up the way they do. Good.
Yeah, the punishment I throw at them, they do good.
Yeah.
But I put something on one.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't always gentle.
Mm-mm. They can throw 9 head of horses on a 1-ton truck.
Be 200 pounds to a horse. a trailer?
I didn't have no trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You had 9 head of horses on it.
Yes, ma'am. I had them stacked in there, poured in there like sardines in a can.
Well, no wonder they busted.
Well, I had to sell them. You had to move.
Yeah.
Well, can't win for lose.
No. Well. You know, I'd hate to be brought up on some of the best equipment, Cookie, and then come out and just have to work my horses in an open field. Like I said, all the time Barbara's out there in that open field, she's thinking about that ring, 60 foot wide and 200 foot long, or something like that, you see, with this big post. Good sturdy boards around it. She don't want it in his own field with it. And then she think about them jumps. Whether you do it all in that circle or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything in the circle.
I sold two vets to Tennessee walking horse colts. One was 20 months old and the other one was 22 months old. Sold one for $55 and one for $58 yesterday.
Registered Tennessee walking colts.
Right. I sure did.
At that rate, this little thing here wouldn't bring much.
No, I have to peddle them. But, I mean, I was over a barrel. I had to sell. I sure hate to sell that big walking horse for that money. I bought him, took him in up at the house, put a saddle on him, and I rode him. Them girls, all of them got on him and rode him. I'm telling you, he could walk a hole in the ground.
That big one?
The one I bought Friday night. Big roan. Strawberry roan. He only stood 16'2".
Oh, he was big.
16'2".
And he had that smooth gait.
It's like sitting in a rocking chair. But I moved him on down the road. Found him a new home. $242.50.
Well, Cookie, if you had a banker, you could hold them.
Yeah, if I had some place. Yeah.
The feed bill would go up on you.
Yeah, well, if you had some place to hold them, something to back you. You get out here in the woods and peddle them. Beat the bushes. Make out. Well, when you're dealing with market, I mean, you got to buy them at market price. Well, I'd anticipated on peddling them good horses. Those good horses.
Yeah. Good, clean horses.
That's right. Had all the shots, all the papers, I mean, they was clean from the ground up.
Yeah.
Had them all.
Just for the need of $1,000?
$1,161. 29 cents.
That would save you.
Yes, sir. But that's old nine heads, I didn't get that much.
Sometimes $1,000 is just a lot of money, isn't it?
Right now, $100 is a lot of money. Which horses is tearing the fence down?
Rowdy's partner. Now, why do they want to do that?
Rowdy's partner. Well, I'll sell him.
You want to sell him? He's too pretty. What can you do to him? He gets up there and paws the fence, and then he backs up into it.
That ain't one thing to do. I'll just sell him. I got a home for him. I'll sell him.
And you've been looking for that
one? I know it. I've been loving for 4 years, but I ain't got no marriage license with him. I'll sell him.
He won't quit.
He might, but
neither one
fine.
Of the other horses do that, because and he's the only one you've had in there that does it.
I'm gonna sell him.
We were just afraid he'd knock it down, and then all your horses would get out. Couldn't you put something on him? You could tan him every once in a while if he did it. Would that help?
Yeah, but he'd be watching for you and waiting out there. Catch you gone and you go do it again for him.
Well, he may not do it. He said when you're out there watching him.
Well.
The only time I know he's did it was when I was out there working on the lane.
A lot of them all back up to a post or back up in and rub themselves.
Yeah, when they're worming. When they're worming, they'll do that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He was using his feet.
You think he's worming?
He shouldn't be. He was tubed the second day of December. He was tubed, had his VEE, had his Coggins test and everything. Second day of December. Yeah, final report, December 2nd, 1974.
They lift them all. They just put them in a lift.
That's he's separate.
Hmm?
He's separate.
Oh, he's separate.
Yeah.
I had them, what is it, down the Oreo been sitting out there. He got that pretty plumage, and I just put that down so he couldn't see me so. Well, in here, watching him. Probably reading the dark, you know, it don't matter. Couldn't have had anybody, here we are, doing business without enough equipment. You see, you need some, you need $1,000 and a few stalls. Bar needs a rain. Looks like somehow or other we could get going.
About the time I get ready to start doing something, or something wipes me off my feet, I'm just about to give up.
Without a little backing.
I'm just about ready to give it up. Here I am.
Well, now, let me see. This fella, Dick Morse up here, has these jukeboxes and electronics. He was trying to get into business. You go ahead, please. And I don't know if you remember that or not. And he had to buy enough equipment. And he didn't have anything, any money. He didn't have any collateral. And his daddy up there working for wages, and he couldn't help him any. Well, he managed it a little bit at a time where he got started, but hard on it. And I was looking around some of these fellas around town that I knew and knew of. And I remember this fella that used to have make glasses, eyeglasses, over there on the university, right there next to
Anderson?
No, right there next to the square. Big tall fella, big blow. And he was out of that business then, and he had money to work with, and I brought it up to him, and you know, he just almost spit in my face. He said, imagine a fella getting in business way that he didn't know as well as the man that he was going to bank. Said if he didn't know more about the business than the man that he was going to put in the business, he'd have to stay out.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about that a whole lot. You see, you get it. If somebody gonna back you, they gotta know as much as you do.
Yes.
They gotta know enough to save the skin. But now this fella yesterday come over here with that tractor. He cut two or three of these little plots for me. And you know what he's doing? He's been running this big rig now ever since they had it, 4 or 5 years. And I told him when he went over there, when he used to come down here under the trees, just stop out there somewhere. You know what he did? He done like all of them do. Now when he gets to the end of where he's cutting, he got a figure, Cookie. He got a figure the fence there. With a rig like that, he can't just drag it around. He'll make ditches there, you see. I don't have any equipment that'll even fill them up. Now, why you got to tell a man like that?
Nah, it beats me. That's beyond me.
He gonna make them big ditches, and every time I go by there, you see, I'll break a spring.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is now, if I had stayed in business and I got a fella like to work for me, somehow or other, I got to keep him straight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd go broke. Well, now, that's as close as I can come to it. You just can't turn him loose. Say, go ahead.
Well, I got to get out here and go. I got to have that truck back by 12. Because we got to haul some more horses today.
So you're on your way to Jacksonville?
Yeah.
That's a nice rig. Pretty. That help you a little bit in the lane?
Yeah.
Them things are growing out towards the middle of the lane.
Yeah.
Them limbs are so big, I had to use a saw. Everybody in trouble. Took a half hour, cut them back. Now, if I could take a plow on both sides of that and throw the dirt up a little bit and cut that bahia grass on the side. I think it'd hold a while. But I can't hold the plow and drive the tractor too.
Well, I'm better get out of here and go.
Right around 500 and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. Time went right and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. Time went right around 500 and the end of the visit with Cookie this Sunday morning, the 19th of January, 75. Time went right around 500, beginning the visit with Wade with Barbara this Monday, rainy Monday morning, the 20th of January, 75. Channel 1 right around 500 and beginning the visit with Wade, with Barbara, and Faye and me this rainy Monday morning, the 20th of January, 75.
Wade, now I've got two or three things from that talk we had Christmas. Mm-hmm. One of them is that they couldn't listen to you because they don't have that, they don't feel the need for it. You might say none of their little towns are threatened. That wrong?
Well, one thing with my experience in Orlando, it's not really so much a need as seeing a potential. And you have to go through a great presentation. That's all right. I'm in good shape. You have to go through a... Well, you've made it. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Put yourself that way so I can see
you. We made a...
Right there, I can't see you. Right
yeah.
The light.
We made this real strong slide presentation. And
keep seeing them. It is anyway.
Down to these people in Orlando, which is, they should know a little bit about the area. They know how far it is from Orlando and some of the potentials in it. And they could see it briefly, but they weren't that interested. Now, the people in Gainesville, that's a very different story. You hardly have to say too much at all to them. They can get the idea. Because they've been through Micanopy, they know what's going on in the area, they're familiar with it.
You can't just tell them that this is a historic town with the rednecks and it's a fine place to live and about to be put and threatened.
Makes
that
no
don't
difference.
Mean anything. Well, now, you know, we went up that little valley and we stopped at several places and I even stopped to see the sheriff, you know. And I didn't see the sheriff. I saw a couple of deputies. I saw an ex-sheriff. And they see that changes are being made and that a lot of people coming in they don't know. But they don't feel, I think they feel nervous. You see, the thing of it is, they're not abstract enough to be able to say they feel nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
I know. I think that's more on it than anything else, because that nervousness is an abstraction. Even when you get ulcers from it, it's still an abstraction.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the reason to get ulcers, I suppose.
I was over there in Jane's kitchen last night, and I said something like that, and she let it go for a while, and then she looked at me right quick, you know, them flashing eyes, and she says, "I don't feel nervous." She says, "I work in here all day with the door open."
Well, that's the beginning. correct. That's true. It is sort of incapable of feeling it. General apprehension.
Did you have a feeling that Ronald was, has he changed since you saw him last?
Well, you see, I've seen so little of any of those people, you know, no direct acquaintanceship with them.
You all used to talk out here, but the thing of it is, Ronald, I would talk, he'd be polite.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I worked him over. That's all I did after he got there. And that afternoon, that Saturday afternoon, is the first time he came to life. And
is that right?
They saw it, and I saw this sign out. You tell him, Faith.
Well, you know, they were getting ready to go to the mountains.
Yeah.
And Ron had said, now, we're going to have a session before we go. And I said, well, the guy says, if you're going to be around, he said, I'll be here. And then Don came over. Well, he came bounding up the stairs, and his eyes were just shining. He said to Faith, now, you be in the car and have the children ready and have the ignition turned on and the engine running before you call me. And, you know, she hadn't even started back. And she says, you mean have the boys in the car? He said, I mean have the engine running before you call me. And then he said, we got something going down here.
That's right.
And he just bounded back downstairs.
Now, you may not have noticed it so much, but when he came back down that last time, he's ready.
That's why you're so mad that the tape was off.
Yeah, didn't catch it.
And Faye said he was so excited. And
that was Don on that one.
Well, he was so excited, Faye said, because for 4 days, you see, Ronald can sit around just so long.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Don can't sit around any much. Mm-hmm. But Ronald can sit around and just eat fruitcake so long, and then he's got to move, and he couldn't. Any of his people weren't—they weren't there, and so he was disappointed about that. And then he was talking with Guy, and so he was really ready.
Well, wasn't it Faith came down and said, made the announcement that Ron was ready to talk? It seems to me when we were setting it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Wasn't you?
It was Faith.
He came down there and says, well, Ron is ready. He's ready to talk. He wanted to know he's ready.
He's ready.
He's been working on it.
Came over.
She worked on him.
Yeah. But I see his thing. And at one time, the one thing I remember distinctly is when he was back down there, I said, now, here you. You've been trying to do for years, you and Faye tried to do what Wade is practically doing now, and you've given that up, and you hired out to this man who'd made money. You remember? You can put it in better words than I can.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't.
He didn't take it personal. He,
no.
He
because that was a big pill that he had to swallow. Mm-hmm. That he had to go with Wilbur Smith, and he didn't want to. They had three boys to feed.
Well, you see, something like that, if anybody can draw you out, that'll do it.
But when they came back from the mountains, and then, you know, you left, and then Ronald left a few hours later that night.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get back until the middle of the afternoon. Well, anyway, Faye said that's all we talked about. He didn't talk to Jim up there, his old architect buddy up at, on top of the mountain. He talked to Jim about what you were doing and about the talk. So you see, you can't tell.
I see, Faye, you've been writing me all this baloney.
Mm-hmm.
Faye Burke, and I have cautioned her not to write me things that she thinks I won't hear. You see, I think everybody gets into that, but some more than others.
Especially in the family.
Well, and one of the things, you see, she led me to believe that Ronald was going right along with us. Well, hell, he wasn't even close to us. And furthermore, he didn't know what you were doing.
Had no idea, then.
Well, not the vaguest idea, but the details of it is what's interesting.
He knew you were saving the Micanopy. Like he went out to save the whatever it was out from Houston.
Yeah, old Don just never, he didn't quite get into it at all. Seems like there.
He was a money man that night.
Oh, yeah.
He's really not, but he can.
Oh, he was, like, he just kept sort of reared back when he spoke.
Yeah.
Gave his cryptic comments on things.
Don sidled up to me a little later and he said, they say, you know what it's like to have the flu. I just couldn't get myself together. And that was a big statement for Don. Because, you know, he...
Well, you see, what you have to get used to up there, you see, when you were talking to Ronald that first night, and Shook stretched out on the couch and went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same. That's what I used to live with. That's one reason I wouldn't go back up there.
Well, everybody was doing his own business myself.
One of the interesting money things that it happened last night. I had dinner with Tony Girard, and Don made the statement up there after I gave him some briefs on it that you know, I spoke cautiously about profit and low venture is what it is, and he got hard about that.
Yeah,
people don't want to put money into something unless they got a high possibility of profit, and you don't get high profit without high venture. He made this statement. Well, last night Tony said, well, I'm probably going to have some of this money. She wasn't speaking directly to me. I didn't bring the subject up. She did. Says, but I want to put it into something, but I'm not interested in a lot of profit. I want to make sure my money stays there, and I don't care about getting a lot of profit. I just want to put it into something. And she said the exact opposite, and she's the one with the money.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference in Gainesville. There are a lot of people like Tony now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not a lot, but enough for me if I can just find it.
How do you figure, Wade? You see, you fit better here in the kitchen than over at your house, and up there you seem to be on foreign ground.
Well, in truth, I was on a bit of foreign ground.
Well,
hadn't been there before.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to be put it exactly that way, but I mean, where are you? When you're away from here, how do you make contact and all?
Well, that depends on how much I know the people. I'm try to be diplomatic when I run into anybody new.
Yeah.
I think it carries over in whatever type of person you work with.
Yeah.
Some people I get downright boisterous with, but it's on a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, I was working this whole last week was practically taken up with Clark Butler. In one form or the other. The job was small, but the time wound up, because of a rush business, an immense amount of time. And I had a good time sort of being on the side, boisterous, and jiving him a little bit.
You mean the builder?
Oh, he looks like he's been run over by a tank, and he's made fortunes, and he's flying everywhere, just flying everywhere. Got to be leaving at 4:00. They're going to look at a piece of land in somewhere in South Florida before sundown. In business like this, and I rather enjoyed putting on an act with him. I told after going up and down those elevators in Lakeshore Towers about 3 times or 4 times, I told his brother, who's older than Clark, I think W.H. Butler or something. I said, well, I can sure see why Clark has to fly everywhere. If he spends much time in those elevators, he's got to make it up by flying those elevators. You get in that elevator, you might as well break out of Moby Dick and take me to the top. It's a long haul up down those Lakeshore Tower elevators. That was one person in one situation that I'm handling one way, and I go in different public situations in a lot of different ways. I think I'm not intimidated, but with a group like your family, it's more like I'd feel more like meeting them than jumping in and saying something.
Yeah.
You need to find out how people respond to you.
Okay.
Well, I'm a dog.
Hey, beauty.
That's a colorful pair.
Red-bellied, both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up there.
Yeah.
Don't move, we'll see you. I noticed, I seem to be this notice this little distinction. By and large, you see the way you talk and approach things is politic, as you say, and engaging. There could be a heart of it, say 5 or 10 minutes, where you just shoot at the line, and where you just march ahead and does not open to questions and Russians, just go ahead and lay it out, and you can do that. You know, in 5 minutes, a man can say a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
If he got it on his mind, and if his mind is soft. A man can soften up his mind, the way it won't work that way. But that's just a small, just occasional, I might put it that way. Now, that was the only thing I noticed. Just occasional, every now and then you could light off like that. Now, Hillis, you didn't see him in his, what I think of as typical moods. He direct and clips his words all the time. Now he didn't do that for you. Maybe I was hoping he would. I wanted you to see him the way I see him. He does it with me, and I've known him since year one. But it's not exactly that he's strictly business, because he's very nice to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find out anything, Russell's the one who can cue you in. Now that's in information, informative subject.
Well, he jumped on into that subject like this when I started talking about Micanopy. He didn't waste any time at all. I'd hardly had 4 sentences out, and he gave a cryptic question or a comment, one of the two, just drop it in.
Yeah.
He was quick on that.
He was quick on that. Well, you had him more favorable grounds, I'd say. Except Ronald. I think Ronald picked up a great deal. I don't think he'd seen you in action, and he'd never seen me in action.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything, you see, but I, you know, pushed it. Kept it going a little bit.
Don didn't come too. This is not a defense of Don, but Don didn't come too. And even his mother said, you're a grumpy fella, but I've never seen you so grumpy. And Don says, I've never felt so grumpy in all my life. And he didn't come to until the Friday before the Saturday was off. And he was there at dinner, and he would just have loved him. He was sparkling all over, and he was loving Mamu, and he was listening to everybody, and he was talking. And that's the Don I know, you know. And
I say that's a little stated, but...
Well, he was. But, you know, Don says that he has to solve the family's problems.
Don and Lynn used to go out for dinner and things like that. See, and they'd talk back and forth all the time. I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees him in a much more favorable light than I.
He's a.
You said one thing.
Okay.
let me tell you, Wade. This is a picture taken. When Barbara came down here, the only thing I had in mind was it would save me. I could keep the agriculture standing, you see, but she had a few horses here. And I didn't want any animals. I'd had enough for a while, especially with the price of things. Well, the only thing about it is it turns out to see that she didn't have many pupils, so students, so she took on this photography. I didn't have a thing to do with it. I didn't even know she could take pictures. I knew she had a camera. Fine camera, but a lot of people have fine cameras that don't take pictures. And then she went over there and worked with you, and it turned out you see she's you feel some confidence in what she turns out. But now I don't want to. She can take pictures for me or not. It's up to her. But what I want to get straight is, I'm conditioned to this hang-up in photography. They snap the camera, but you never see the result of it. And I don't know any sovereign remedy for that. But now, what I if it, now it's up to her, because I don't have a thing to do with it. If she wants to do some of the things for me, and I'll, my money is as good as the horse money, you see, and probably a little bit more reliable. I mean, the picture taking, the steeplechase thing that they do. I think somehow, as soon as she gets a roll of film, she ought to develop it and print it. And the formality of asking me what I think about it, you see, because generally I don't care for it. So there's very little choice I've got in the matter. All those, that thing that Daisy, she with her lips taken out, well, you say, that's nice. Well, I'll go along with it, but I don't care for it. I never saw Miss Daisy with her lips like that. And I don't care to look at her in that light. But I'm not talking it down. But there's one thing I think that ought to go along with it. If you're going to take pictures like that, you also ought to take them with a clean apron on, where you just see them in a normal position where you might say they pose. So that if you want to give them a picture, you'll have one at least they'll take. And she's down there, you see, about 12 or 18 hours a day available, and so are the rest of them. I would go to that extent. So what I would suggest is, if Barbara takes a picture, and you don't have to wait till you finish the roll, if you got two or three pictures on it, I don't care what you do with the rest of the roll. You can throw it away as far as I'm concerned. But go ahead and develop those pictures and print them. And you don't have to ask me which ones to print. Just print them. And don't just see here now out of several of Mr. Eastman. I just see that line here on the table. You see, the rest of them are in some cave somewhere. And no one knows except Barbara, and I don't know that she knows. Now, I'm not running Barbara down. I think it's very difficult to do that. But I don't keep my vows in shape. Yeah, nobody goes back there and looks, you see.
You just made a nice commentary on the state of the arts. As far as the camera work is concerned.
Yeah. But I mean, you've got a job, you have to cast through and send it to
me. Oh, yes.
Well,
much to my regret, it has to be done.
Yeah. Well, if Barbara's going to work, if she's going to take any pictures at all for me, I'd rather have it done like that. But as I say, she don't have to do it.
Well,
her choice, all her choice.
You know, if that would be your preference and she's going to work for you, it seems she should, on a monetary basis, she should just make a charge for developing and initial prints and forget about everything else. Just do it.
That's right. And just let me pay her. I can't pay her when I don't see the prints.
If you're my client and you tell me to do something and you want it done, like Clark Butler, he woke up in a sweat Tuesday morning and wanted this bukus of big pictures, color pictures, by Friday morning. Well, he's willing to pay for it, so we hustled around and had it done. But Tuesday afternoon to Friday night, I had an old brochure made up for him.
Oh, I see.
Which he couldn't even gotten done in New York, even though he was complaining bitterly about the lack of service in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But got it done. So the thing is that understanding of payment, of necessity, you've outlined it. You want it done, you want to get it done.
Yeah.
It's a little
now,
bit.
Now, what I would do in your case, you see, maybe half the time you'd be using your dark room or something could be going on, it'd be an inconvenience. If we go there, just check in with you, see if it's all right.
Well, she can work. She works around that, but very little. Every now and then you get a rash of printing, and that's all. So time-wise, she's got plenty of time to do that over there.
Yes.
Open time.
And the afternoon when you are
going to town.
Circulating, at least. Now, what she does with the time, now that's, I've got hell, I'd be awfully embarrassed if anybody was to ask me what they would do with their time. I don't know what I'm doing in three quarters of the Now, here's another thing. It costs money to run the dark room. Now, old Ted paid you for the use of it. Now, if she's going to use it much, I think it ought to be that way, too. So, you all ought to figure out something.
Well, we could work out some modest arrangement on that. I hadn't been too worried about it so far because it's been minor traffic involved in it.
Yeah.
It's all part of the schooling program. But there, you know, that would be the way I'd do it. You just charge so much per roll developing, and that would include the cost of your film. By the way, if you're going to do that kind of thing in black and white, you might as well start loading your own because it's only a penny a shot then when you load your own. So, in this case, if you take the four pictures the guy wants and you've got 30-something left, you've only lost 30 cents, other than the developing time, which is a straight time.
Yes, I just overstated it. By and large, I'd just go ahead and let the damn stuff.
Well, I mean, it's no problem. Well, with me, it's no problem to burn up a roll of film. I can do that a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
And
now, I have these people coming around here, and I don't know when they're coming. And but whenever they come, it's awful cheap just to start taking pictures of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep the camera going. And have plenty of film. And it'd be better to have two cameras and have them both loaded. I've got away from this one. I wouldn't go anywhere with one tape recording because it'd break down on me. I did that when I went to West Virginia, and one of them did break down on me. So I didn't expect it. I'm lucky when I'm holding up.
Yeah, I wonder if we have any use for color at all in this game that you're talking about. Mostly black and white right now, isn't it?
I see what happened. We had an accident here yesterday and lost a dog. Fred Wood's fine dog, the one he likes, that little.
The old one?
No, the little.
The old beagle, yeah.
The little beagle. Yeah.
Bullet?
No, it's a beagle.
The
little beagle that he bleeds. I said something about the wildlife. I used to try to protect the wildlife, but now there wasn't any, so I didn't want anything to worry about. And he picked that up, and he said he hadn't hunted. He asked me what I thought about the gun law, and one or two things like that. Well, I didn't know exactly where he was getting at. I figured he was jumping me for being against it. I've always been against, sort of favoring some sort of gun law. I figured he wasn't. But he was. And he said he hadn't shot a duck in 10 years. And then when he saw that everything was being thinned out, and you had to protect it instead of kill it, he quit. Now, I had no idea. And furthermore, he's strong about it. I never heard him talk like that. I never heard anybody in this whole area talk like that, you see. He won't let anybody shoot squirrels on his place. Birds or squirrels or anything.
He can't have it when he's not there, but he won't let them if he can have it.
I wouldn't have suspected that.
No.
Not at all.
See, Harry still carries his own license.
Oh, yes. He goes squirrel hunting.
He used to try to get me to let him back in. I never would agree to it. Of course, I couldn't keep him from going back in after he bought it. I wouldn't have known. But, so what opened up was, and that's why I called you this morning. What opened up was that I don't know just how they feel about things in general, but they see all this passing and no record of it. And Jane admitted last night that she could remember Mama's voice. Her voice was right here. Well, that's another firm repository, you see, for a dead person's voice. And she was trying to remember when Mamma, how old she was when she came to this country, as if it mattered. So, see, she's sort of groping. And, of course, she can't even reconstruct Miss Anna anymore. She's been there 6 or 8 years, and she can't reconstruct her anymore. Well, aside from that, Fred's going out of business over there pretty soon, and that'll be the end of the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And she got that 35 years in store herself, and she wouldn't trade it for anything, but unless she starts reconstructing it, it'll be gone. As soon as she gets out of the store, it'll go.
Right.
There won't be anything to keep it alive. There won't be anybody to talk to. Well, I'm just talking in general now. But I think the thing of it is, with this little Foxfire thing for my cue, I think I could very easily put something together for him. If Barbara could take some of the pictures, but now she doesn't have to do that. It's Kyle up there. I can get a secretary who can set it up and do it that easy all print photography. But you don't measure your margins on the right. And get them out just as pretty as almost as well.
You can do that reasonably cheap now.
Yes.
I've forgotten it's for 100 sheets that photo offset is just reasonable. And more than that's cheaper.
Well, so that's the situation. And I'm in it here so much, and I can't get out. There's no way I can go now to get out. I don't have any friends left in the area, alive or better still here, where I can get out and clear my mind. So about my only... I face it all the time, and I get worn out.
But his friends, the people he knows, what he's talking about is Phil and Mabel. Somebody can go and just really feel easy.
Yeah, I used to spend half an hour with Phil and Mabel, and I felt as if I'd had a tonic.
Most of them gear you up.
Get up and wave my hat. And others like that. It was. Well, up through my picture taking, and the taping. I don't mean picture taking, the taping. Up through, up to 1972. But since then, I've been out on the limb. And I should have left, at least stay gone half a year. Because I got no. You see, you can't rely on people like Miss Mary and Shirley. Shirley's sick, Miss Mary is temperamental, and I never come away from Miss Mary's feels if it's nice old home week or anything, you see. Never have. I've come away from there right excited about something.
You have to leave laughing every now and then.
But it's one of the things that's restful.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was thinking, Wayne, the same thing as guys talking, and then just in my mind I was thinking, I believe it's the change everywhere. I can't think in Gainesville.
Yeah.
A single person that I can go to, and just sit over a cup of coffee like I used to and feel, really refreshed, because my friends are all pressured.
I don't care what age it is, my age.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's missing more than younger age. You can't find anything like that. I suppose maybe that's why some of the people would like to come by and just talk to me, and there's no big pressure in the talk.
Yeah.
But they've got the pressures.
You don't know Ernest Cox. He's an old friend of mine. He comes from back on that same country. He came down here a little before I did, and in 40s. Jake Wyatt got him down here, and you see, we ought to get together and talk about anything. But you know what? He's in the countryside. talks is any goat. Now, he can't tell you to pick out Watch Clark and tell you a few things about his experiences with Watch Clark. He won't tell you any goats. And one of the most fiercest things about anecdote tellers is when they tell three or four, they expect you to pick it up and tell three or four. And say, I haven't got any. I couldn't tell you a single anecdote.
Yeah, they'll sit back and say, that's your thing.
Because they're artists. See, I'm not running it down. He's an artist at it. Well, he's gone. When I came down here in 57, his job was to go out over the state and represent the university. Well, everywhere he went, he told anecdotes. It's just like a preacher giving those
yes.
examples.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It just choke you if you have to hear me. It's so unreal.
Maybe that's why I don't do it so much myself. I got an overdose. We just groan when the old man would come out with one of those examples. Take the chapter and the verse and then the example. Every time.
Made up.
Well, let me tell you. The old time preacher, it seems to me, a good one was one that you could clear your mind with.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't come by to save souls or sit down, just pass time day.
Yeah.
The new ones, though, they're going to save the social institutions or something.
Yeah.
Too busy. Much too busy. And all the younger ones are getting out of the preaching business. They're quitting.
I was interested in the ear they gave to what she was saying about making up. And I just got started. See, I never was away from town whiskey. I actually don't know any of your friends. So I wouldn't have it waiting on it. But it seems like it ought to be a subject that would pass anywhere these days, anybody would be interested.
Well, and properly formulated, it does. It captures a great deal of interest.
Yeah.
But that the degree of interest varies, I think, with the proximity.
Well, now, the thing of it is, your normal way of talking, just as you talk all day around here, you see, that's much more engaging than the Meganova story. That is your process over there. How you keep going. Because what you do, you pick up little incidents and pass them on. For one thing, nobody else, hardly anybody knows how to do that.
That's right.
It's a lost art. I don't think it ever was very common.
You know, it occurs to me, and I'm right optimistic about the magazine idea, this sort of thing, it really could sort of fit in with this McAnulty thing. I mean, this is all an area. It's the whole thing. It's the way that, put Cross Creek on the map. it's attention to the, and people look for that sort of thing.
Got a line on a gal that might be able to go 3 days a week. She's she'd be 30, something like that. She's married, been married 10 or 11 years. She's older than 30. It'd be dogs if they didn't up and have a kid, and maybe one of them really wanted, but. So she can't go full time. I've just met her. Seems to be a fairly intelligent person and evidently has office talent. Might be something to start in with, 3 days rather than committing for a whole week.
I was, you know, when I talked to you about it, I just sort of first the idea for his contract. But it's sort of settled down now, and that is, you know, once it's settled down, the terms sort of fall in place. He's just a secretary at a ranch with some experience editing and interviewing. And the man, I saw the man at McClellan at the employment office in Ocala, and I told him I didn't feel like facing all those telephone calls. But he said someone had to be done about that. He said he'd put it up there without any name. Oh, he could put his name on it. And they would have to come through him, and he wouldn't let it, he wouldn't send the stuff to me until they gave him the brochure recommendation. Well, that would cut out of it, say most of them out. Well, that's what you want to do. He says if you'd put a notice up on the bulletin board and said they're going to stand there looking in an hour, you'd have 10 applications. They'd all be typists or all be something like that. It's just the way they do.
With that long line of seeking jobs.
Well, would you consider talking to a person like this? Would we get any information on her? 3 days a week?
No. I got to break in somebody. Unless it looks like it's somebody who can travel, I wouldn't. I think you'd have to have that in mind. I like to go up to Kentucky and spend 3 or 4 days in places like that. Stay with the family. Bill Gary. I don't think it'd be much trouble in. And then that will...
You got any feelers out in Gainesville, or you just trying Ocala?
Let me tell you, Wade, things have been going so fast, I haven't had my hat on my head hardly. I haven't had a chance to follow through with it.
Shocked with the reality of trying to put some money together to hold on for another month. And I did it last week. I don't have it in pocket, but I made it. So now I've got to spend a week getting it together and then giving it out again.
Yeah.
Well, when you left Knoxville, I knew you came. You left with a purpose.
Yeah.
You had to move.
Yeah, a lot of today's going to be an odd day. Some strange things, like one of our tenants left us with a month and a half rent, just left, and Julie went over to talk to her, caught her over there, and she very irrationally argued why she shouldn't pay any rent, and she just wasn't going to do it. So now we've got to deliver a black paper, as I call it, to the rest of the tenants. They all got to pay up a month in advance now.
Yeah.
And they can all go personally thank this friend of theirs.
Yes.
So that's a horrible thing we've got to do, and we've got to make sure. So that just sets on you. Somebody does something like that, and so we can't be casual. Some of the tenants come in and say, you know, I've got to have my teeth fixed. I can't pay you for 3 weeks. And so, well, go ahead.
You know, I had talked about that, and I'm casual.
You can't be casual anymore.
That's it.
No.
You can't just... That's right. That's the whole thing.
And if you are casual, it's on the assumption that you produce at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can produce, you can be casual. Maybe you won't be, or don't want to be, but you can't afford to be casual unless you produce. Now, these days, I don't think there's any exceptions to that.
Well, wouldn't it be
Everywhere
nice if you could
go,
do it the way that
you
would like to?
Well, there, I mean, we had a high suspect of a number of these tenants like that, and this is our hard lesson. It only cost us $100 or so to learn it, but now everybody else has got to pay, and they can't be allowed any leeway, or else we'll be caught with a bag again. We can't do that too many times. Too small an outfit.
Yeah.
See, they get accustomed to doing this to big companies, to the university.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's is proper to steal from big companies. You get away from a large apartment complex without paying the rent and a few other things. Well, you've done a good job. You know, you've made a few extra bucks. So they carry that over.
It's not worth the trouble for the large apartment complex to get it out of them.
Yeah, they can break leases and do all kinds of things. Long, you know, they can casually get away with it.
Yeah.
So they.
But you always have to pay in advance in rental, don't they?
Most of the time, we certainly are establishing that situation now.
I never heard
of course,
our
original tenant, the first one, they've kept it together pretty well, so we wouldn't probably bother them. But all the new ones will come in.
I got the idea somewhere in Gainesville. That's all I know. I don't know that. They pay a quarter's rent. They make a year's lease to get a place and pay a quarter's rent ahead.
Well, they pay at least the first and last month's rent, which is 2 months ahead, technically speaking, and then a rather large security deposit, which could amount to practically a month's rent.
Yeah. And that's coming.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting to so now the tenant has all the advantages according to new laws.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. The tenant, I mean, it used to be the landlord could get away with everything. Now the tenant has the upper hand with the new law systems.
What, for instance?
It's hard for me to delineate it because there's a whole list of things that it used to be the landlord could say this, but now the tenant can say that. You know, the tenant can make a statement, the landlord has to live up to it. Certain obligations, fitness of living, and quality of living in the housing.
Yeah.
And of course, all this is costing money. It's upping the rents, and I can see that. Because we can't afford to repair these places and keep them unless we raise the rent on them.
Yeah.
And the people ask for the repairs, and we do it, and you raise the rent. We got one tenant that just refused to pay the increase more because he complained that he put so much work into it before we bought it that he was owed all this money. That doesn't amount to a whole lot, but those things have to be smoothed out. When you get a whole bunch of places, you know, you could be down $1,000 a month on return just from nitpicking things. That's just one of the little items.
Yes. I didn't realize you had so much property there.
Well, we have 9 rental units right now.
9?
I wanted you to go to rounds with that fellow that keeps his place going. But I saw one thing.
Well, I caught on to his manager. He really had a manager.
Yes, but I think Russell, you see, now here's one place that he'll fall down. His categories won't say it. He say he's determined and he's industrious and he'll save you money and all like that. Well, I saw Phil Patterson. Phil wasn't industrious. And he didn't give a damn about money. But he had that look in his eye from his old sawmill days to where if he'd give it to you, you'd come close. And there wouldn't be any useless words. And he done me that way. And I don't know what it is, except it's a gifted. It's a great gift, whatever it is. But you see, that's out of Russell's vocabulary. I want to see that man.
Evidently, he had a look about him, what little Russ could say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He could speak strongly.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't care for him throwing the man down the stairs or whatever that story was. But.
You don't know exactly what happened, you
no.
see, because his reporting of it won't. The reportings, the events change in the reporting. It could be, like I said, Faye, you see, they know how to make these statements. It's an Emersonian statement, but it's, as I found, it's common in the countryside. And I picked it up and I make them, you see, and it throws people off. I said to Faye, you know, nothing would please me so much as just to leave this damn country and never see it again. Well, anybody that's natural would be arguing with me. Where the hell are you going? Well, it's my statement. You don't have any right to give your own case at all. You just listen to what I want to say. I made my statement. Now make me live with it. I'll live with it if you just keep your mouth shut long enough. I haven't got a place where I'd go if I left here permanently. Where would I go? I have the faintest idea. So it's an unreasonable statement, but it's a satisfying one.
Like tap in.
And you can't get away with statements like that with your best friends.
You sure can. They're going to set you straight.
Oh, yes. Yes. I told you that thing about it with my dandy, Andy Holt. He was telling me that Ramsey's Annals, that's a history book that was written in the 1850s. It's very nice. He was from East Tennessee. Most of the civilized people were then. And his house was over there close to Andy's, and they were going to make a monument out of it. And I thought, I thought of what it did to Cross Creek when they made a monument out of Ms. Rawlins' place. It'd been better if she'd never seen the place, you see, to have that traffic rolling all night long going down there. Because they, most of them don't go down there to see Ms. Rawlins' place. And so I said, well, now that's to Andy. I said, hell, Andy, that's one view of history. One I rather favor. Old Porter Henniger invited me, I told you that, invited me over to McMinnville. He's a retiring executive secretary of the Southern Nurses Association. I have to say that all over again so you get the full blow.
What an important fellow he is. He really is.
And you talk about casual. He's so casual, you can't tell the seat of his pants is so baggy, or any of it. But he's Mr. McMinnville. He's been there all his life. And any industry comes there, Porter's brought him. And he took a liking to me this time. I tell you, that was the most flattering thing that happened to me. This hopeless. And he told Clay or somebody, and he called up and said he wanted me to come over there. He didn't say he wanted me and Faye, he said he wanted me. Of course, he'd be glad to see Faye, and I wouldn't hardly go without her. But, our relations is there. And what he does, he's the one that goes from coffee break to coffee break.
Mm-hmm.
You just have a private tour, you see, from one group to another. Where in the world would you find that? All you got to do is sit there and keep your mouth shut. They don't want to hear from you. They got something to say. Why, Lord help us. And I said, now, if I was over there a few days, first thing you know, I'd get my typewriter out, I'd set down a few of those things, and you would get a glimpse of McMinnville such as nobody else has ever had. And he got looking more and more serious, and he went along thinking that I was going to destroy Ramsey's Annals. And he said, finally, you know, he made it easy on me. He says, well, everybody's entitled to his own view of history.
That's that letter.
Well, now you see, he was closing me up.
Setting you straight.
Yeah, he set me straight.
You can be a fool if you want to.
If you be a damn fool if you want to. You go along with Ramsey.
I'm a little surprised, you know. At one time, Andy would have said.
It is surprising.
Yeah, at one time, you know. So I think it's being president of the University of Tennessee maybe changed him. But anyway, at one time. Even back when he was living with us there, Andy would have said, well, let me see now, Bud. Let me see now. What is this? He would have gone along.
No, I didn't see any like that to at all.
Uh-huh. You got to be an important
thing. They kind of lose now. That's a shame.
I was just reminded when Barbara was talking about pen in advance. Barbara said the other day, what did you say? Your students were going to pay in advance from now on? You can't do business with them. coming 1 week and not coming the next.
Yeah.
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 Well, I had some politics are afoot in Micanopy. Yeah, they closed down the polls Friday, I mean the registration. And old Bill Proctor, he called up. Well, first of all, Willie Wade, the black man, calls up. He says, Mr. Swicord, he always calls me Mr. Swicord. And I always ask him how much I owe him. Nobody calls me Mr. Swicord unless I owe him money. And he refuses to change. He still says Mr. Swicord. Hell, he's got a lot more sense than I do.
Yeah.
And
experience.
Oh yeah. Anyhow, he says, I understand you're running for mayor. So we went through that little scene, and he was joshing me, and Bill Proctor was there with him. He got on the phone. He said, well, Wade, I forgot to tell you, but the books are closing today, and see if you or tomorrow, see if you can get anybody to register. He said, well, what's the story? He said, well, Ben Franklin sent 25 people from the mill down here to register. Ben Franklin is going to run a couple of candidates for the express purpose of stopping the reassessment of taxes in Micanopy. He probably, his mill pays about the same taxes that I do on my house, and if they reassessed it anywhere near proper, it cost him quite a few shekels. So he's back in the mill town politics.
Yeah.
By God.
That's where it's been.
Mm-hmm. And he stepped out of it for a while, but now he's back into it again. And Julie went down to Burgess's store, and Burgess says, is Wade running for mayor? And Julie hadn't heard about it. And then yesterday I went to swap refrigerators with Hilton Heron. Remember the mole, as they called him?
Yes, very well.
That sharp-faced... intellectual on the town
council.
Yeah, he didn't need to bring anything up. He'd disagree to start with. And, he's fixing the refrigerators, and I had a big one over there and dumped it out and got one I'd had fixed and just about to leave with it. And he says, you running for council? And I said, no, I'm not running for council. He says, well, we need somebody to run for council. And I'll be damned, guy, I can't figure that out. I don't know whether he was testing ground or what. There's no telling what he was up to.
I don't think they are crafty. They're not partisan, Wade.
Yeah, you wouldn't think he'd be testing ground. I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah, you get up a little higher, and you get people to remember things. Roberts will remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Hilton would.
Yeah, that history's gone for him.
I think so. Now,
he can't remember whether I called him a son of a bitch in public or not.
I'm just talking to you. I don't know whether that's the way it works or not, but they don't take a stand.
Well, that's just one of those odd things. I don't know. See, I feel like I shouldn't run unless there is no one else to run because of the conflict of interest business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to, next year or two, it's going to come up strong. Just about anything, the majority of things that come in front of the council
are
going to be things probably I'll be dealing with.
Yeah. If your charge was a little bit more mature, you could run her.
Yeah.
If you could count on her being there.
She may get the wanderlust. Sure hurt her to settle down.
Yeah.
She felt it. I think she was sick for several weeks after she got here and made up her mind she was going to stay. It made her sick.
She told me she was having a fight with herself.
Is she?
She's a character. That girl is. Yeah, that's underfoot. I don't know what to make of that. I was too rushed because I had a dinner engagement that I didn't know about. I just found out when I started moving these refrigerators all by myself. You can work up a steam moving refrigerators by yourself when you got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a dolly.
Well, fortunately, I had a dolly. I couldn't have managed it too well.
Where'd you get it?
Oh, there's a duty dolly there in Micanopy. We've got one.
Who is
it? Regular refrigerator dolly, matter of fact.
Does he have one?
Yeah, Hilton has one. Yeah. But we have our own. We use all over the neighborhood.
Oh, really?
When you got nine rental places, you have to have a
few. I can tell you, Wade, you are over you going home. Let me ask you something here.
Do you need to go feed your horses?
Channel 1 right, towards the end of the reel, around 1800, 1800, this Monday, the 20th of January, 75, the end of the visit with Wade, with Barbara present, and Faye and me. Channel 1 right, around 1700 or 1800, the end of this visit, this rainy Monday morning, the 20th of January, 75.